you become like a robot expected to produce on demand. There's so much pressure for men in that situation.
To really help, try and spend time doing things outside of fertility. That is the gold dust.
Strip it back to enjoying the touch, the kissing, power of a good cuddle. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of The Mailbag, which we love because we answer your questions. It's a really good way for us to interact with you, the listeners, and to remind us that we're not just speaking into the void or to each other, because I get bored of talking to Kieran, quite frankly.
Get bored talking to myself.
Those voices in the head, mate, you've got to watch out for them. We do like these episodes, and yeah, they're a really good way for us to stay connected. It's all good. That's what we're all about, community and connection and all that. So yeah, I believe this question came in through the Instagram. We did actually answer it a few weeks ago, but we answered it to the person who asked the question, but we thought we'd put it out this week because it is Valentine's week. And Kieran, I hope you didn't forget to buy your flowers.
Oh, I bought my flowers, mate. Always do. Oh, I might have told you before, I always do Flower Friday. So yeah, we get flowers on a Friday in my house. But I see appropriate people to be my Valentine, and they were accepting for, I think, the 19th year now in a row, so it was all right.
Good.
I'll pass for another year.
Yeah, you've done it. Well done. I have my thoughts on the whole Valentine's thing, but I'll save that for another time.
It's a great way to make money, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, let me jump into this question. I've got it written down here. It says, since we have been going through treatment, my partner and I have been arguing more. How can we stop fertility from creating distance between us? I think, first off, guy that reached out for this, it's a brave thing to do. This is like really being vulnerable about your relationship, something that a lot of men take a lot of pride in. And definitely when I started going through treatment, I didn't want to talk to anyone about how it was affecting Jen and mine's relationship. The reply that this guy got straight away was, thank you for being open. And I hope this question helps people that are listening today, because it is that month of love and it can be extremely difficult, a bit like Christmas when we spoke about Christmas a few months ago. Times of the year can be tricky. So, Sean, there's the question. What are we thinking?
I think it's one that anyone going through fertility treatment will resonate with, because you're in the trenches for so long. And also, you don't often know how long it's going to go on for, which is one of the hardest bits. And actually, we did a webinar recently for Nexus, didn't we, on how to live in the weight. That was more general about how to keep living your life. But there are a lot of common strands through living that. And obviously, as a byproduct, your relationship is there. But I think the key is, for me, it's almost like cliche, but as we've said before in the pod, cliches are there for a reason. They're true, but it's communication. A very important starting point, because often it can break down and the communication can just then start focusing on the treatment, and then it becomes like your project managers of that, and you just discuss the things where as and when they come up. And I think for me, it's like regular check-ins in the evening, just even if you've been busy all day, you haven't had much chance to chat, if you've both been at work or whatever. Make sure you're checking in the evening and just saying, how's today gone for you? What do you need from me? Is there anything you need tomorrow? And then that kind of keeps your general everyday communication up. But also, like when it comes to appointments, don't just go to them. Or if you have results given on the phone or whatever, don't just receive that information and then move on. Like we always found, I say always, this, again, it was the thing that I learned is that we needed to communicate a bit more after these appointments, because for a long time it was just like a rabbit in the headlights during them, and kind of playing a more active role in the appointment or in receiving the results or whatever on the phone, asking questions, it brought me more present. We then started doing afterwards debriefing it rather than just putting that appointment to the side and ignoring it. We discussed it to make sure that we both understood what was happening, what had just been disseminated to us or delivered. And then really debriefed it properly to then know that we needed to move on, or we could move on from that before just burying our head in the sand and figuring out whether there were any unanswered questions that we needed to go back to the clinic with.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice. And I was just thinking back then, like the first two cycles that me and Jen did, we didn't do that. We didn't have that debriefing. I definitely wasn't open to it. We went and did whatever what was going on, an appointment, a treatment, a stage of treatment, whatever. And then I got in the car and I was quiet. We might have mentioned one or two things, but we didn't say anything. And actually that, in reflection, added to my, how I was feeling, that sense of guilt, that sense of grief that I was feeling. And I know now that if I'd spoken out, like I did in our third cycle, after I pressed the reset button, I would have found it easier. I really would have found it easier. They're not comfortable discussions. I think that's important to say sometimes, especially the first few, because you've got to show that bit of vulnerability in terms of what am I thinking here? What am I thinking there? How can I tell someone, even though you know that individual truly loves you, you've got to open up. And we've talked about it 1,000 times, like in society, men aren't encouraged to do that. So it's an incredibly difficult thing to do initially, but you get used to it.
On that point, it's important to acknowledge that there are differences between men and women. And like we as blokes don't need to then suddenly become a different, what we are, what we don't have in us. And this is a sweeping generalization, of course, but, and then also it's not about women then becoming like what we do. It's about finding that common ground and communicating the differences and communicating what you as an individual, like, for example, this one guy that I've been talking to recently for my coaching, he's the sharer. He wants to talk, but his wife doesn't. So you know, I say about generalizations, and she's not always being available for him to be able to have those conversations that he wants. But it's about learning the differences. Like, when you want something, communicate it. Are your needs being met? Is there somewhere you can meet in the middle? And I think that is the key, is naming the differences between yourselves, as, because of course, like, a couple is two individuals and then you come together as the one. Just having that discussion about what you need and want and what you don't need and want, and what, like, and then how you, it's like I say, meet in the middle, like a Venn diagram. There's going to be some area where you can both find that agreement on.
This series is all about reminding you that when it comes to fertility, you're not on your own, which is why we've partnered with Fertility Family to share input. We all know that nutrition matters when it comes to fertility, but let's be honest, maintaining a perfectly balanced diet for conception is incredibly hard. Choosing a supplement can be just as confusing, especially when many multivitamins contain strong antioxidants that can actually harm sperm quality. Impril is different. It's made from activated micronutrients that support every cell in the body, from the largest, the egg, to the smallest, the sperm. These nutrients have been clinically shown to significantly improve live birth rates in men and women who have previously been struggling to conceive. Impril is different. It's made using activated micronutrients that support every cell in the body, from the largest, the egg, to the smallest, the sperm. These nutrients have been clinically shown to significantly improve live birth rates in men and women who have previously struggled to conceive. What we like is that behind the science at Fertility Family are real stories from real people. To find out more, visit www.fertilityfamily.co.uk. And if you decide it's right for you, our listeners get 10% off using the code MFPOD10. That's MFPOD10. Now, back to the episode.
You think differently to your partner. You just generally do, like you've just said. And if that isn't clearly communicated, that's when the arguments occur, because neither one is truly understanding what the other one's trying to say. We mentioned it in our talk in Edinburgh recently, didn't we? We went through that kind of script, that outline there. So it's all about clear communication. And another thing I'd say is, to really help move you on as a couple, try and spend time doing things outside of fertility. Like, you're still a couple.
It's so important.
Do you know what I mean? That is the gold dust. Like, it's so hard to find. But actually, if you can find one evening a week where, well, we did, where it was, we were just Jen and Kieran, but we had to plan it. We had to be proactive. Otherwise, fertility is all consuming. Life is what you focus on, and you can't help but focus on your fertility treatment when you're going through it. Like, it's a massive part of your life. but for one evening or two evenings a week, focus on something else.
Yeah.
Purposely
yeah.
do it.
Yeah, literally, like you said, like one, just set your bar as one evening a week where you just date or whatever and you don't talk about fertility. You know, like literally that gets left at home, or even if you are staying at home, but it just gets left on a different table.
Hmm.
And maybe put your phones down as well, just be present, just talk about anything and everything, but to rediscover your joys before fertility treatment. What was it you did as a couple before you knew you were going to walk into this absolute shit show? And then, yeah, focus on that. What brought you joy before? Reinitiate that into your lives as a couple.
It's hard. I remember we went out for a curry and we sat there and I looked at Jen and I was like, I don't know what to talk about. Like, and I said it to her. She was like, no, neither do I. So we just talked about work for a bit. And then before we knew it, we were talking about other things. But it was almost like a forced conversation initially. You have to force yourself to think outside of the fertility box.
It becomes so all-consuming, doesn't it? So you have to break the pattern of it.
It does. Like, you're focused on having a child. That's your focus. It's a big focus in life. You could argue that in terms of how we are programmed with human beings, it is the main thing that we are programmed to do and want to do. So it's hard to go, right, I'm going to forget about that for an evening. But it's important. The more you do it, like with so many other things, the more you do it, the more you get used to it.
Yeah. I think something you said earlier, you mentioned the word individual, and that stood out to me because it's one thing that I advocate this, not just during fertility treatment, but still we do it now. I think I mentioned as well, we are two individuals who make up a couple.
Mm.
But I think it's important to still do things individually as well, because then that fills your cup. You go and do what brings you joy yourself, whether it's like gym, seeing other friends, playing whatever else. I've started playing paddle, like your classic middle-aged male.
I've got a meme to send you.
but it's good though, because we just have a laugh. Doing that away from Jenna then fills my cup. Like, it gives me the time with my mates, or if it's time on my own exercising and stuff, that's what I then need to then come back and just feel more grounded and settled and having done that something myself. So I think that's really important as well for me, is that individual time.
Socializing with friends is incredibly powerful. You only have to look at the research to see how powerful socializing with other men is.
Because again, that comes down to escaping the fertility stuff. Because it's like I said to my mates after I told them about it all, like 3 years in, I would go out and they would say, oh, you know, how you're doing? How's it all going? And I'd say, look, I really appreciate you asking, but tonight I need to forget about it and not talk about it. You need that escape from it. It's like what you said about like date nights with your partner. You just need nights or days where it isn't the topic of every fucking conversation, because it becomes like that at home.
Yeah, I remember thinking, is this ever going to end? Like, it was that all consuming that you just think, how long can you keep going around this same cycle? But actually, taking care of yourself. Firstly, communicate with your partner. If you don't think you're doing that efficiently, figure out how to do it, even in any means possible. Sit down, have that difficult conversation. I think once I wrote Jen a letter just because I found it easier to write it, and then had left it in the morning and she read it. And when I came home, I got the reaction to the letter. Prioritize time as a couple together away from fertility treatment, even though it'll be hard. And then prioritize time for yourself. You are still an individual. When I was going through treatment, I was still Kieran. When you were going through treatment, you were still Sean. Even though you don't feel like that, you still are that individual, and you've got to work to find that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I think we've both said in the past, like, we were years down the line until we sought help for anyone else. And I'd say that as well. As a couple, don't wait until you're at crisis point before you seek help from professionals or a third party, friend, whatever, coach. Even if it's, again, like as individuals, but then coming back together and maybe having a session together as well, because quite often people are at breaking point when they seek that help. But do it as part of a maintenance of a healthy relationship, is having a service, a regular service outside of your annual MOT. I don't know where I'm going with that. I don't know about cars to run any further with that analogy.
But you're right. Like, you have to, relationships, you have to work on with whoever they are, whether they're with family members, whether with your partner, your wife, friends. They hit hard times and you have to work on them. Good relationships are developed from styrene, aren't they? Not marshmallows. You have to work on them. It's a difficult thing, but you reap the rewards at the end of it.
Yeah, and of course, a big part of any relationship is intimacy, sex, which also becomes really hard during fertility treatment because there's all the pressure that's wrapped up in it. And I think, first and foremost, anyone who is struggling with that, I would signpost to our episode with Kate Moyle, yeah, who is a psychosexual therapist, and she's literally one of the country's leading sex therapists, for kind of want of a better phrase, to shorten the title. Listen to that full episode. But the kind of headline is to remove the goal-based outcomes from that, because we talked about it on the episode with her, is you become like a robot expected to produce on demand. There's so much pressure for men in that situation. During it, and then trying to get to that, because it's quite obvious if we're not going to finish, or if we don't, we can't fake it. So it's, once you get in your head and you're not experiencing, you're not feeling it as the physical act that it is, once you're in your head and those voices start swirling of, oh, this is happening again or whatever, or that's when it's hard to get back from there, because it's a spiral.
Yeah, it is. And it is incredibly tough. Like you said, the pressures of it all, the fact of it just becomes routine, and it's so unnatural. That feeling is so unnatural. But Kate's episode is a great one. It's definitely worth listening to. I think it would do that small topic, even though it is a big topic in terms of the whole thing, do it so much more justification than we could in a couple of minutes talk.
Yeah. Well, I think the headlines are, it's just to remove that goal, like that pressure of having to finish, to ejaculate, and strip it back to enjoying the touch, the the early stages, the cuddles, the kissing, like that's still intimacy. Like, we underplay that, I think, but the power of a good cuddle, and then, or just think, this time we're going to have a nice sexual massage or just foreplay. Stop removing the pressure to have full sex every time and to finish, and then work up and start enjoying the actual event again, rather than dreading it, I was there. I get it.
It's one of those topics that I think as men, we often want to rush to the end, don't we? We get triggered and then it's, you want the end bit, but actually that bit, that foreplay, as you said, you definitely, me as a man, I think sometimes it's, you're quick to rush, and that's hormones and everything else, but you forget how enjoyable that the early bit of it can be. And it's actually, use a bad situation to reconnect is an amazing thing. It definitely benefited our relationship.
But that's something that can intertwine as well with the date night that we talked about. Try and go back to how things might have been before you knew about the fertility stuff, and make things as natural as possible without that overriding. And I say that knowing how hard it is, but it's making that concerted effort to really strip things back and reconnect as a couple. Remember what you were like when you were in, even way back to the early days of dating and stuff, exciting time.
Yeah, just trying to make it's hard, and maybe it's a word that doesn't come with fertility a bit, but try and make things a bit more fun again. Like, it's trying to revisit that, or the early stages, shall we say, that were a bit more exciting and things like that. I'm not suggesting anyone go and have a quick bunk up in restaurant toilets and things, though, because that's...
Why not?
Disabled load.
Yeah, go for it.
Get letters of complaint saying I got caught in the toilet. I'd be like, send it to Sean.
Yeah, no, I'm all for it, mate. Crack on.
Yeah, mate. But like I said, like, we've turned a serious situation, and you just got to be a little bit more hard, even though it's so hard. But it comes with time. It comes with continuously trying to practice it. And then eventually it should all click into place, and you feel a little bit, you will feel more connected with your partner.
And any relationship needs work. But when you add in something like fertility treatment on top, of course, it's a more conscious effort.
It's something that I think everyone goes through.
Yeah.
You know, that relationship strain. And it won't be the last time we talk about this.
I imagine pretty much everything we've said there has been covered at points throughout episodes, just as a, even as a little side topic, because it is just a continuous theme throughout fertility treatment, is that the relationship aspect. So we should probably say how people send in the questions.
Oh yeah, we better do. You can send us an email at themalefertilitypodcast@gmail.com or send us a message on Instagram, which is simply the Male Fertility Podcast. I think we should also mention that on the 5th of March, we're in Manchester for a in-person meetup. So if you are Manchester based and you want to come along, hit up the Nexus Fertility website. All the information's on there. And yeah, it'd be great to see you.
That's the 5th of March, 2026, because obviously people could be listening to this.
We better mention it. Otherwise, it would become an annual thing. We've got to be there.
These meetups happen all the time. Every month we try and do one somewhere. So go to our website and see where the next one is and join the community. Nexus Fertility, we've got a WhatsApp group. It's always on, really supportive. And you can fire your questions to us from that as well. And we can bring them to the fore for the wider audience here on the pod.
Yeah, amazing, man. It's going to be a good meetup in March. I'm looking forward to it. First time we've done Manchester, and we've got quite a big section of the community there, haven't we? So it'll be a great meetup.
Thanks for listening. If this episode has helped you, do us a quick favour and leave us a review. You don't even have to use your real name. Every single review helps another man find this show when he needs it the most. It's honestly the best way you can help the next guy. If you've got a question or something you'd like us to talk about in the mailbag, please drop us an email at themalefertilitypodcast@gmail.com. We read every message that comes through. And if you'd like a bit more guidance and support from other men on the same journey as you, you're welcome to join our free private community at nexusfertility.com. It's totally confidential and designed just for you by men who get it. For the latest updates, follow us on social media at the Male Fertility Podcast. Remember, you're not alone.